The good news of God's love according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, "I am not the Messiah." The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. All four of our Gospels connect the ministry of Jesus to the ministry of a man named John. We call him John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, but the fourth Gospel emphasizes him as John the Testifier. He testifies to the light, so that through the light, the whole world can come into a relationship with God. He steps into the witness stand and tells the truth about himself and about what he has seen and heard. He confesses and does not deny, "I am not the Messiah, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed." He had been told by God that one of the people he baptized would be revealed to him as the Savior of Israel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He offers this testimony to the religious authorities who challenge him. He offers this testimony to some of his own disciples, his students and proteges, because he wants them to become followers of Jesus. It's kind of funny that they start off by literally following Jesus as he walks down a dusty desert road. But by the end of the day, they will also be witnesses offering their testimony about what they have seen and heard. In doing this, they will follow the example of their forebears in faith. Psalm 40 is the account of one person's testimony. Life had brought them into a desolate pit filled with miry clay. They cried out to the Lord and they waited patiently, knowing that God would respond. They have come to understand that being a person of faith is not grounded in religious rituals, but in the way we live. In response to God's rescue, they now dedicate themselves to a life of service to others. Here I am, I love to do your will, O my God. The book of Isaiah contains four poems about an unnamed servant of God. In some poems, the servant seems to be a single human being. In other poems, the servant represents all of the people who were brought back from their exile in Babylon. These poems help the people to understand a new chapter in the ongoing story of them being God's people, chosen to bring blessing to the whole world. They used to think this would be through their political influence or military power, but that is no longer the case. In the poem we heard today, they are told that they will bring blessing to the world by living as a servant to the world. They are called to testify to the farthest corners of the earth about all that God has done for them, how God has remained faithful through all of their triumphs and tragedies. Even if they are abhorred by nations, they will bring light to the nations. The Apostle Paul knew the history of his people. He knew himself to be playing a vital role in that history, bringing the light of God's love to the ends of the earth. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be working our way through his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, a church that he had established in a commercial port city in southern Greece. Paul had spent a year and a half there before moving on to other cities and towns. This letter was written many months or even a year after Paul had founded the church, and it addresses problems that have arisen since Paul left. Even in these opening verses of the letter, we get hints of what will be covered in the rest of it. Paul reminds the congregation that they do not exist to take care of themselves. They belong to God. They were sanctified in Christ Jesus and called into partnership with him. Just as the ancient Israelites were called to be God's servants, Christian churches exist not for themselves, but for the sake of their community and for the sake of the world. In addressing this letter, not only to the Christians in Corinth, but to those in every place, Paul is reminding this small congregation that they are part of a much bigger community. God has blessed them with every spiritual gift needed for proclaiming the love of God. They have been enriched in speech and knowledge of every kind. But as we will learn over the next few weeks, they are using those gifts and that knowledge to make them feel good about themselves. Some of them are even claiming that their knowledge and gifts make them superior to others. Every faith community is called into partnership with Jesus so that they can be Jesus for their neighbors. This is the work to which they are to commit themselves until the day of the Lord, when Jesus returns. We aren't called to do this work as individuals. We are called to be saints together. It is only as a community that we are blessed with everything we need to do God's work. But each one of us is inspired by God's Holy Spirit to testify to the truth of what we have experienced, to testify to the light that has come into our lives. We must not hide God's righteousness away in our hearts. We dare not conceal God's love and God's truth, because each one of us is called to lead people out of the darkness where life has thrown them and into a face-to-face relationship with the God who loves them.